Aviation Gateway Park is what Thursday is every year here on EAA Radio at 1 o'clock.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's...
Dave Jameson joins me from EAA. All things EAA, you are.
Yeah, it's like deja vu without the rain.
Yes. Woo. No rain.
No
That's
rain.
It's a beautiful day. So we're in our last segment. It goes by fast, but you have all these cool things going on over here in your buildings, Dave. It's just unbelievable.
It is. Piper Aircraft's been fabulous. They're the host sponsor for Aviation Gateway Park and everything that we've got going on here. Really the third year of bringing out a different demographic and a different set of interests here at AirVenture. As we've talked about, EAA is really all about recognizing the past, the present, and the future of aviation. And this year we've got everything from the planes back from World War II all the way to the Blue Origin rocket, which really represents sort of the future of personal space travel. So there's really something here for everyone. And PAL-V has a fantastic initiative that they're launching, and I'll let them tell you a little bit about it. It fits perfectly in the Innovation Center and, again, is something new and different that we haven't had here before as well.
Mark, welcome.
Mark, welcome here.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
Where are you from, Mark?
Well, originally I'm a British transplant to Canada.
Ah.
And now I'm working for a Dutch company, so that makes for a very confusing individual, perhaps.
Excellent. So what's your background, Mark?
You know, my background, actually, primarily, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I've loved innovation in terms of pioneering different business models and that kind of thing. But more recently, I moved into a lot of adventure activities. So I actually led a team on a world record with paramotors a few years ago.
Oh, wow,
and then I try and jump off Kilimanjaro with a paraglider and stuff like that. So
you tried jumping off Kilimanjaro with a paraglider?
Obviously,
you survived.
In fact, we did do it. The winds were a bit too strong, but it was a great climb,
and we had
a lot of fun. So then I contacted PAL-V and started to talk to them about their machine because it was very interesting.
Huh. So tell us about the machine.
Sure. Well, really, what we've got is a commercial flying car, and it's long overdue. We've all been talking about it for 100 years.
Yes.
And I think the challenge is we can invent a car that flies easily enough, but can we actually commercialize on the concept to make something that's viable in the marketplace? And that's really what PAL-V has been able to do. So we're super excited to be here and show people where we're at in the process. We're very close to being able to manufacture and deliver. And then give them an experience, just like your last guest, in a virtual headset. So we can actually get them flying a flying car in VR headset.
Right. I guess when people always hear the word flying car, I'm sure there's a lot of skepticism in terms of the realities behind it. As you said, you'll see a lot of them sitting in the museums. I think we have one here in EAA's museum as well.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit more about the realities of a flying car and how does yours sort of differentiate and change the marketplace?
Yeah, for sure. I think the reality is it's an immensely complex equation to solve. So for a start, we have a compromised aircraft. It's never going to fly as good as anybody else's right. aircraft because it's a car.
Right.
So we have weight issues. But our engineering team is now almost 50 engineers in the office in the Netherlands and has been for a few years now. And they're working constantly to reduce weight, make sure we comply with regulations. So it's a mammoth puzzle to solve, actually, and takes a lot of capital, a lot of vision, and stick-to-itiveness to make sure that you get to the end as well. So it's been a fabulous process and good to get so close to the finish line now that we can confidently say we'll be able to deliver to our clients next year.
Next year, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And how does development in Europe or the Netherlands sort of differ from what development or certification would be here in the United States? Is it comparable?
That's a great question because really EASA, the European regulations, regulators and the FAA dominate globally in terms of the rule sets and the structure. So they work very closely together. And in fact, what's happening now is EASA is having a conference call with the FAA on a monthly basis talking about our project and where we're at and what's happening. So hopefully it won't circumvent the FAA process naturally, but at least they'll be up to speed on the dossier when we come from the EASA with the approval and go and talk to the FAA here in North America.
Right. And when you say next year, do you mean a product available for purchase next year?
We're pre-selling now, but we'll be delivering next year. So the process that we've gone through, we create a prototype, and the prototype serves to certify all of our components. So then we know we have a vehicle where all of our components are certified. It's simply then a redesign from the prototype to the commercial model, and now EASA will commence their flight trials hopefully a little later this year or very early into 2018.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess we're going to see one flying here next year.
Well, that is the plan. I think I had my arm twisted by some of your board members to sure we could do that next year. And I would love to do that. Of course, we're in the hands of the regulators, but we'll be very close, and I really hope we can pull it off.
Well, as an experimental, you can certainly fly it as an experimental. You don't need to.
Yeah, that's one of the options that we would have at last minute. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And price point for something like that is going to be what?
In terms of the $1 million question.
Of course. US dollars,
I keep asking all of my potential clients, what do you think it's worth? And they're telling me it's much more than I'm telling them. So maybe we should put our prices up. But we're actually at $400,000. So
$400,000. Okay. Certainly about the same price as you could maybe find a new 172 or a new one.
Yeah, that's right. We're kind of up there with the four-place fixed-wing aircraft,
right.
Which is not a bad place to be.
So here we have a car and a plane. Who's going to insure it?
That's a good question, too, because it's an easy mistake to make to get to market and then find you can't insure it. So Aon actually is going to be the underwriters. The guys dropped by to say hi yesterday, and they're very excited to be insuring the world's first flying car. So,
there you go.
They're very, very excited, and we're glad to have them on board, too.
So when you say world's first flying car, you mean the world's commercially available?
Commercially available, you bet.
Well, you can see, and you were talking about those obstacles. I mean, there is one over in your office.
Right.
In the museum.
It goes way back, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it's you've been over to look at that, haven't you, Mark?
Yes, yeah.
There is absolutely no similarities, by the way, between the Pal-V and that car.
Tell us a little bit more about the specifications, horsepower, materials, how's it built, what are some of the performance specs?
Yeah, good question. The underlying principles for the design team were to create a safe and simple car to fly. And so from a safety point of view, we've now got a twin engine. We've got two Rotax 912IS engines. Both are used in flight. That gives us a cruise of about 85 knots and an endurance of 3.5 hours. On the ground, we're only using one engine. And on that one engine, we can actually get 180 kilometers an hour or about 110 miles an hour, but an endurance of 1,300 kilometers or 850 miles.
Oh, wow.
So a very performant vehicle from that point of view. And, of course, the redundancy with two engines is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we're a gyroplane, so we can't stall.
Okay.
So when he comes up to a traffic jam, it's... six-speed racer, yeah. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you'll have to take this to an airport to take off, or do you see, kind of an urban launch port at some point in the future?
Yeah, I don't think we're in that market. That's more for the eVTOL guys who are here. So for sure, we don't want to mix it up. But definitely, the regulations do allow us to take off from private land with permission. And so as long as we're complying with the regulations, then you're good. You can fly off your own airstrip or somebody's private land if you have their permission.
So I'm assuming you'll need a pilot's license and a driver's license?
Absolutely. I think that makes the regulators very happy.
Right.
In fact, last year we opened a flying car school in Utah. So
did you really?
We got our first clients who are in flight training right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I assume that you're using a lot of simulation. The gentleman that is doing the simulators, I assume that's a big part of the program.
Yeah, you bet. Now I have the simulator here with the VR goggles. I can do a lot with a client that can help them progress in their training as well. In fact, we were chatting together with him about writing a curriculum specifically for the flying car market.
Fantastic. That's
so
great.
It's a great concept.
So what does one see in terms of the instrument panel? I mean, is it more car or more plane? I mean, what are some of the dials that I'll see in front of me when I get in?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, the car is sold with a lot of options, but fundamentally, we'd like to try and keep people onto an iPad if we can, with a lot of instrumentation on an iPad. And that really comes back to the weight and balance calculations again.
Sure.
A lot of people have asked if we put air conditioning in it. Well, we can, but there's a real weight penalty to put air conditioning in that car. So, we're still playing with that a little bit. I think fundamentally you're going to see people using iPads, but there's and all of the standard avionics are going to be in there regardless. But there are lots of options. We'd like to boil it down to iPads or Google tablets if we're able to.
Sure. And what kind of redundancy would you have for something like that if the iPad crashed or...
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't got that answer from the engineers specifically, but everybody's going to be asking that question, and pretty soon we should be able to answer it.
Excellent.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool.
You want to go in fractional on one?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's buy one. We'll fly it here next year.
Wait a minute. This is the last segment. We can go do that right now.
Wait, I got to go.
did you bring your checkbook from your office, David?
Does it come in blue?
I can make it come in blue.
I left my checkbook in the campground. Sorry.
So I'm assuming that I think you said just a two-place at this point, correct?
It is a two-place, and we haven't really got into a four-place design yet, but I think that's probably the evolution of the flying car market, is to get to that point. And a gyroplane... platform is adaptable to that. I mean, we don't see gyroplanes with too many right. with four seats yet, but we're going to see that evolution in the gyroplane market.
Can it be? You are going to have air conditioning. You do know that, right?
I think we may need air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah.
And can you park this in sort of a standard U.S. suburban garage?
That is a killer question, actually, because I think if you look at some of the designs out there, you're going to get in the entrance and you'll not figure out how to get out again.
Right.
So
if it'll fit in a UK garage, it'll fit in an American
garage.
That is the truth.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, it's actually 4 meters long and 2 meters wide and about a meter and a half high. So it'll fit in every urban parkade. You'll be able to drive around it, fit in a regular spot. So,
and you can tow it. I mean, assuming you can trailer it, just about anything you can do with it.
Yeah, you could. I think you've got to be careful trailering it, but yeah, you will be able to trailer it for sure.
Excellent. Excellent. It sounds fascinating. Certainly looking forward to getting it here. And watching it fly. I think that would be pretty amazing to see the first commercially available flying car here at Oshkosh.
Yeah. And what they have here is cool to look at, too. So anybody who's on the grounds who hasn't made their way over to Aviation Gateway Park, definitely put it on your list and get over here and see all these innovations and stuff going on over here.
Yeah, and I think what I really like about what PAL-V is bringing is a little bit more reality to the future. I mean, these things have been, as you had said, have been talked about for decades and decades and decades, and it seems like it's finally here.
It impresses me the number of engineers they have working on it. Obviously, this is a serious program.
Yeah, that's a big burn rate.
Yeah, and hopefully, when you start mass producing them, of course, we'll drop that price down at some point, I'm assuming.
Well, let's have a look at that. I'd love to do that.
Because I want to fly one.
Do you? Yeah. Well, what do you fly? You fly 787, so there's a little bit of a size difference between the two.
A little bit. But
you could probably put several of those in one of those.
I also have a Piper Cub.
Oh, that's right.
I think his windshield wipers would just move me off the windshield.
a little bit of a gnat on the windscreen there.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining us on EA Radio.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to come say hi to us.
And thanks so much for coming to Oshkosh. We really sincerely appreciate you being here for the week.
It's been a thrill to be here, and we look forward to being here in the future.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, here we are at the end of the hour.
Oh, I appreciate you having me here this year.
That went fast.
It sure does, every year.
Every year, Thursday, you and I, right here, 1 o'clock.
I got it on the calendar for next year already.
Yeah, Aviation Gateway Park.
Fantastic.
James